a head through and have a functional shirt, halacha is you are chayav chatos, you are metaking kli, you are fixing something, you are creating something that was functional that was not there before. We know a lot of open up barrels. Many of us open up cans, you open up things on Shabbos. What's the difference? You're making an opening. If making an opening is considered a tikkun kli, is fixing something, why should one be allowed, one not be allowed? Says the Gemara, Amalei, zech chibor, v'zeh eino chaber, chibor, that one of them is sealed, the other isn't sealed. What that means is the following. Sometimes you have a situation, in the case of the shirt, the way it was designed was the fabric was closed and you had to open the fabric for the first time. You are making the opening. In the case of the chavis and a barrel, the barrel is not built. There'd be nobody to get the material inside, right? You can't get anything inside if it was built that way. You have a barrel, and then you put a lid on top of it. The lid is a separate item that is then sealed together. So when you open up the lid, you are not creating a new opening. You are merely opening something that was already there. You're giving access. And that, Reb Gavri, is a distinction why the first case is a Isur and Hilchos Shabbos, and the second one is not. We have many statements from Yehuda Merav. This next one is going to be a little bit fascinating, a little bit different. When you go to the mikvah, a mikveh is required to have how many sa'a of water? Anybody know this halacha? It's a little bit obscure. 40. 40 sa'a of water. And it has to have initially water that is natural water, right? If you have water that is added, that is drawn water, that's called ma'im shuvim, that's problematic. That's only problematic in the initial 40. Once I have the initial 40, I can add. For example, the lovely mikveh, which is said Lashon Saginar, because it's not so lovely. But the lovely mikveh that is right here in the Chabad, so they can add more water to it. But the initial water had to be natural water. Once it's natural water, you can obviously add more water to it. The question is, if I have add a certain amount within the first 40 sa itself, if I have shlosha lugan, 3 lugan, that's a smaller measurement of water, and if the water is not the appropriate water, that water will render the mikveh invalid. However, if I put in other things that are not water, it's a little bit odd, right? If I put in wine instead of water, all of a sudden it's fine. See the difference? It's a little striking halacha. So the Gemara as follows, with that background. I'm Yehuda Marav, another statement from Yehuda Marav. Shloshes lugan mayim, shenafel etochen kurtav shayayin. I have 3 lugan of water, and a kurtav, a small amount of wine fell in. Umarein kamari yayin, and it looks like
wine.
V'nafel mikvah, fall to the mikvah, lo paslu ribzik. It doesn't make it puzzle. Why? Because it looks like wine, even though it's really colored water. Let's be honest. I have a lot of wine, a lot of water and a little bit of wine, but it looks like wine. So it looks like wine. This man, the Emir, says it therefore it does not render the mikveh invalid. Mausli Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is the one who's always asking the questions. V'chima ben zeh made seva. Why is this different than colored water? It's no different than colored water. That's what it is, Rav Lerand. It's colored water. And this man, Rav Yossi Omer, made seva post unless the mikveh b'shlosh is lugan. Rav Yossi says explicitly, if I add colored water, that will make the mikveh invalid, right? Makes it invalid because it's called Mayim Sheuvim. What's that? What's the difference between that and the wine? Says the Gemara. Amalei Rava Hasamai Ditzeve Mikre Hachri Cham Meziga Mikri. He says, no, the difference is one is colored water and the other one is diluted wine. That's the difference. One has the status of wine. That does not render the mikveh invalid, Reb Wolfson. The other has the status of water, and therefore it does render the mikveh invalid. But Tatan Reb Chia Haridu Esamik, but did not Reb Chia say the mikveh was invalid in that case as well? Says the Gemara, Amarava Lokasha HaRab Yochanan Menure HaRabbanan. There's a classic machlokas between Rab Yochanan Menure and the Rabbanan. This Tnan, as we learned, Shloshes Lugan Maim, and now we turn over the page for those scoring at home. Chasar Kurtav. You have 3 lugan of water that's missing a kortav. Shenafel etochen kortav yayin, and it is now completed by the last kortav of yayin. Umarei and kamari yayin, it looks like wine. V'nafel le mikvah, nafel to the mikvah, lo paslu, the mikvah is not rendered invalid. Moreover, v'chein, good word to use in your essays. V'chein gimel lugan, mayim chasar kortav, shenafel etochen kortav cholav. Those are both the opinions of the Tanakhama. We'll see in a moment. There are different versions of what the Brice actually looked like, but we'll go with this version, as it appears in our Gemara. That's what Rav Sokolov wants to do. So it says, in both instances, the key aspect is the quantity of water involved, and that renders it, therefore, not invalid. Rav Yochanan says, no, the key criteria is not the quantity, but it is the color. The color, which is sort of like quality, the color of the water. So now the implication here is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what is he arguing on? Is he arguing on both points of the Tanakhama or only the latter point? Says the Gemara. So by the statement that this is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that's implying that it's only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So the Gemara says, "Hami bai bai le Rav Papa." The Gemara says, "What? This not a question of Rav Papa. The bai Rav Papa, Rav Tani Chaser Kurta Bereisha of a Shlosha Lugin." Latana kami pasli. Osr Yochanan lemeimra kohacha achra amara. Rav Amar Kerib Yochanan ben Nuri. I'll translate all in a moment. Oh, Dilma, Rav Lo Tani Chaser Kurta Bereisha. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, ki polik asefa huda polik. I will try to do my best to explain, but there are two versions. Again, our Gemara is printed with the version that we have, but there's a whole dispute as to whether or not Rav Yochanan ben Nuri was arguing on the entirety of the Braisa, meaning he and the Tanakhama agree all the way, or maybe they're the slightly different girsa, and Rav did not have this phrase of Chosar Kortev in the Reisha, and Rav Yochanan ben Nuri was only coming to argue on the latter point, and which would mean that Rav, he said earlier that we're going like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, he can really be like both Mandi Amrim, even like the Tanakhama, says the Gemara. The Rav Papa mi boile, the Rav Pshita lei. No, Rav Papa had a debate. Rav Papa wasn't sure what the right text was, but Rava had no debate. He had the text as we have, and therefore Rava said that that position could only work like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, who says everything goes according to the color, or as Rav Wolfson said, the quality, right? It goes only to the color. That's what really matters. That's the opinion. Now the Gemara says something a little tragic and poignant. The Gemara makes the following observation. The Gemara notes that Rav Yosef was a Talmud, a very close Talmud of Rav's, and he, the Yehuda, actually, he was a close Talmud, I'm sorry, of Rabbi Yehuda, and this was a statement Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. So here the Gemara is discussing what Rabbi Yehuda Marav said. Rabbi Yosef said, I didn't know that. How could that be? Now, what we know, which the Gemara doesn't tell us, but is implied in Rashi, and we know from other places, Rabbi Yosef, at the end of his life, suffered from a bit of dementia. So he didn't remember everything that he had learned. So Rabbi Yosef says, I'm Rabbi Yosef lo shamali haishmaita. He said, I never heard that from Rabbi Yehuda. And I'm Rabbi Yehuda's prized Talmud. So Amalei Abaya. So Abaya said very softly and gently, No, at Amrit Lenehelan, you told us. But basically he was saying, Rabbi, I'm sorry, you forgot. Like you really had taught it beforehand. You told us this halach. V'hachi Amrit Nehelan, the Rav lo toni chasi kurta bereisha, Rabbi Yochanan ha-sefe palik, v'rav de Amr, k'divrei ha-kol. He said, you actually did teach us this very halacha, and you taught us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was actually arguing only on the Sefer, and Rav really could work like both, which is not our Gemara's conclusion, but that was Rabbi Yosef's conclusion, and Rabbi Yosef had forgotten, unfortunately, that he had taught this earlier. The Gemara goes a little further. Another statement of Yehuda Marav is going to get to the mission in a moment, and it's going to be in a similar topic, but an interesting point. What is the difference, gentlemen, between a sea and the river and a river in terms of the way water moves? If you go to the ocean, say even better, if Sokolov, you're right. In other words, when I have a sea, what happens? Where does the water go? Okay, so the ocean moves to the tide, and if you have like the Mediterranean Sea, it basically is fairly static. It's not moving quite as much. It's moving a little bit, but it's not moving quite as much. Constant. A river, the essence of a river, Rip Smith is, and Rav Gekovich tells me, it's moving. It's constant. Oh, says the Gemara as follows. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. That's going to be relevant for the next halacha. Chavis Malei Amayim, Shenafel Yam HaGadol, a barrel full of water that falls into the great sea. Hatova Hashem Lo Aso Lo Tzvila. If I go to the mikveh, you're allowed to go to the mikveh in a body of water, right? I'm saying I'm not advising this. A little bit of modesty is a good thing. But if you want to go take off all your clothes and go to the mikveh in the middle of the great sea in the dead of night so no one can see you, that can work. If you do it in this situation, we have a concern. What's our concern? Our concern is since the water, a barrel of water fell into this spot and we don't know if that water moved, maybe when you're going to the mikveh, where are you going into this barrel of the water from that barrel? Rabbi Nachum thinks that is a fairly rachok, fairly obscure possibility, but that's what the Gemara says. Chashinim l'shlosh lugin shloi b'makam echad. You are afraid of these three lugin, they stayed in one place. Rabbi Noam said, they stay in one place, then I'm going to the mikveh in the wrong type of water. That's what the Gemara says. V'davka, because we learned this a moment ago, liyam ha-gadol. Dekai v'kaimah, that's only the yam ha-gadol. Why? Because it's not moving. It's staying in place. Avol nahara ba'alma. Lo, but a general river would not be an issue. Why? Because rivers are in constant motion. So whatever water was there a moment ago, 2 minutes later, it is gone. So you are fine. Tanya Namahach, we have another brayta that supports this concept. Chavis Malaya Yayin. Similar, a little different. A chav is full of wine. Shenafal yam hagadol. I go into the yam hagadol. Latovah shem laotzel tefila. Again, chashinan l'shlosha lugin sheuven sheloi hayu b'makom echad. I'm concerned that I had this barrel of a foreign substance that fell into the Great Sea. I went into the mikvah because I want to purify myself. It's Erev Shabbos Kedush. I want to be ready for Shabbos. I go to the mikvah, but we're concerned that maybe the water did not dissipate and I went into the wrong type of mikvah. V'chein kikar shel truma. Shanafal sham tame. Similarly, if a piece of truma falls there and I touch it, I'm the one who is tummy to start, right? I'm the tummy guy. I'm going to the mikveh to get pure. Rabbi Eden thinks I should get pure before Shabbos. I'm trying to get pure. So the halacha is that the kikur shel truma is tummy as well. The Gemara says, my vechein. What's the point? Obviously. So the Gemara said, no. Mao de tema hasam uki gavra chazaka. No, let me explain that. We have a principle of a chazaka. What is a chazaka?
It's an established idea.
Rav David Gekovich is on fire today. It's an established idea. So the principle is we assume things stay the way they are unless they change, right? If a person is, let's say, so what's the point here? Here in this situation, a gentleman has become tamei. Normally, we think of going to the mikveh just because we want to add a little bit of kedusha to our lives. But why do they go to the mikveh in the time of the Gemara? Because they became tamei. They were really trying to get rid of some type of impurity. So if I am a person who is impure, and we're not sure if I did an activity to make myself pure, what do we say? Stay with the status quo. That's what we call chazaka. Status quo was I started off tamei. I went into this mikveh. I went into this body of water which had stuff dumped into it. Remember the old days when the Lake Erie used to catch fire, right? So the river had a lot of other things in it, obviously, in that lake. Going into that lake, I don't know if you become tar, because I'm not sure you had a real good body of water there. So I started off, the individual started off being tamei. Since he started off being tamei, he remains in a chazaka, we assume he stayed tamei. But the kikar of truma was pure when it started off. So to say that, therefore, he's tamei and he touched the kikur and the kikur becomes tamei, maybe I should say the kikur stays with its chazaka, kamash mala. No! If we assume he restayed tamei and then he touches the kikur, it becomes tamei as well. Rav Wild, Shlita.
So let's say you take a dunk in the ocean, but it's like a part that you're not, like, it looks clean, it looks all good. Then after, like, you realize you weren't supposed to go there. You have to, like, dunk again somewhere else?
So if we really think, it's an excellent question, if it's like the Yamagadol situation, you'd have to dunk again, right? If we're not sure, and you really needed to go to the mikveh, right? Both those points you made, yes, you would have to go again. Okay, one more Mishnah, gentlemen, and then I hope you all have wonderful days. The Mishnah, the Be'adam of Dalam Amad Aleph. Me'inanu be'ish ploni shechayav lechaver masayim zuz. V'nim tuzom, I come with my friend. Who is my partner in this imaginary venture today? Morty, you're volunteering Morty Myers to be an aid zomim? Ribari, so you are my aid zomim with me. So Ari and I are lying, and we are claiming that Morty Myers owed 200 zuz to Rav Moshe Schachter, and it was not true. Nims is zomimin. Ari and I, we have no idea if it's true, actually, but we claim that Morty lent him a princely sum, that Morty borrowed 200 zuz from Moshe Schachter on Friday morning at 9:15, and we saw it happen because it was happening right in the middle of the sikha, because maybe they weren't listening so much, and that's what we saw happen, right? Rabari, that's our claim. And then it's proven that Rabari and I, at that moment, at Friday morning at 9:15, we're not at the sikha ourselves, but we're actually in Cincinnati at that very moment, so we couldn't have known it. So the halacha is, so, Lokin Umishaman, know what happened to Rabari and I, these Adam Zomamin? We have to pay Morty Myers 200 zuz. Nice deal for Morty Myers. And we get Makos. Why? Because we testified falsely, which in itself is a lotase, and we did this specific prohibition of Eid Zomim. We get both punishments. Shelo Hashem, Mevi'in L'dei Makos, Mevi'in L'dei Sashlumin, because the name that brought us to Makos, meaning the source, is not the exact same source that brings us to the Tashlumin. Divi Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion. Chachamim say, Rabari, we're in better shape. Chachamim say, kol mishalem ain't a loka. You can't do both. We'll do this Gemara, but at the core, it's the same Isser. We only did one Isser. So at the core, we can't get both punishments. If we're going to have to pay Morty money, because Adam Zomerman, we lied about Morty Myers, we have to give him 200 zuz, we do not get the Makos. Whew. Get off from that. In a similar vein, let's say a different scenario. I need another partner in crime. Who's my new partner in crime? Reb Gavri Steiger and I are lying about Reb Morocco. We claim Reb Morocco did an offense that's going to get him mako. It's going to get him 40 lashes. But unfortunately, Reb Gavri and I were not being that truthful. We were not there at the time. We had not seen anything. We had no idea. We were facing history at the moment, Gavri and I. So we could not have been made on about Reb Morocco because we weren't in the room. We weren't even in the country. Well, we weren't in the vicinity. So the halacha is, so what happens? So we wanted to give Reb Morocco makos. That was what punishment he was going to get. And we lied. So what should we get? Double makos. Gavri and I, we're starkers. We can take it. We're going to get 80 makos. So the Gemara says, Nim suzo, so lokin shmonim. You get 80. Mishum lo tana b'riyaka eid shaker. Mishum vasisim lo kasha zamam. We violated two prohibitions. We violated the prohibition of lying, which in of itself is a lotah say that gets its makos. And we have to get the punishment we wanted to give to the esteemed Rav Morocco, who in this case was very innocent. So the Gemara says, Divi Rameir, Rameir says, you get 80. Chamim Omrim, no. The Chamim say, En Lokan El Arbaim. In a similar vein, Chamim say, you don't get double jeopardy here. You're not going to get, at the end of the day, Gavi and I, in this hypothetical case, because Gavi would never do something like this, we only did one Easter. We can't get doubly punished for the same Easter. We're only going to get one punishment, only one set of 40 lashes. Gentlemen, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.